The Girl Power Podcast.
Hi, it's Shalynn. This week on episode 3 of the Girl Power Podcast, Alana Allen from the I Am a Queen Foundation, whose story is nothing short of inspiring. Open discussion, you know, we're just going to talk about some things and, you know, whatever you want to talk about. You know,
I'm just open.
to maybe possibly inspire. And the reason I wanted to talk to you is because you have your organization that inspires a lot of young women, you know, the I Am a Queen Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I remember when a couple years ago when you won the award, the AC Stowe Award, and we had a little mini interview.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about, you know, what inspired you to start your organization. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So do I start now?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was 6 years old, I was molested by a family member. And for 18 years, I hid that secret. Like, that secret kept me down.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was 23, I was working. I didn't believe in God.
Wow.
Like, the person that's on Facebook all day talking about
how about that?
Yeah,
I
was late because I believed. I said, well, how is it that you could allow this to happen to me? Like, why would you let this happen? So we were battling.
Yeah.
So I ended up losing my job in the economy. And I hit rock bottom. And something said, go to church. And when I went to church, they were talking about the prodigal son. And I was like, well, maybe they're talking about me. So then I go back to church, and they start talking about the three in the furnace.
Okay.
And I believed at that moment. I said, okay, God, the fourth man stepped in. I said, okay, God, you stepped into their flames. So if you want to come over here to this hell that I'm going through, come on.
Yeah.
And God said, well, how is it that you want me to help you, but, you know, you won't allow me to come into your life?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there like, okay. So I started writing I'm a Queen on the paper. And I just started forgiving everybody. I forgave my cousin. I forgave my family members who hid my secret. And I even called people and said, I forgive you that night. Because I was like, I was set free. And people, you know, they asked me like, well, how did you forgive? And I said, I had an encounter with God. Like, he knocked me upside the head. And he just pretty much started chasing me. Like, I didn't work with kids at the beginning. I thought I was going to have a book club.
Okay.
I thought I'm a Queen was going to be a book club. We were going to talk about books. I don't read books. I listen to audios. And pretty much he chased me for 2 years. And when I say chase me, like, old people and children would come up to me and say, you're going to work with kids. I said, I don't like kids. They were like, no, you're going to work with kids. And I said, okay. And I finally bowed down because it became so much that it was overwhelming. So when I bowed down to it, I remember 2 years within the program, I finally told my testimony of being molested. And this little girl, she wrote me a letter and she said, she said, nobody's going to believe me, but for the past 5 years, I've been getting raped by my grandfather.
Oh, my God.
And I'm now pregnant by him.
Wow.
But because you forgave, I can forgive him, too. And that was, like, the moment where God showed me. He was like, you have to keep telling your testimony. And you have kids who say, well, I binge you this, or this is normal, or this person touched me. You're like, no, that's not normal.
No, it's not. It's not.
So we dig into those conversations. So that's really how I'm a Queen really started. Like, I thought it was going to be a book club.
Wow.
And we do all of this now, and it doesn't even make sense.
Well, tell me about, you know, how was your experience dealing with that, you know, being molested? You know, because a lot of us have gone through that, you know, and, you know, we deal with it in different ways because it happened to me when I was five, family member.
Okay.
You know, and I blocked it out. I totally blocked it out of my memory until not so long ago, maybe about 15, 20 years ago. And I was sitting at work, and all of a sudden, these memories just started rushing back. And I thought I was going to have a breakdown because I'm like, oh, my, what is, what? And I, you know, afraid. Of course, we all of us at some point are afraid to talk about it because for the fear that nobody's going to believe you.
Right.
So how did you deal with that before you were able to speak your truth about it?
I was very quiet growing up. Mm-hmm. And when it happened, it was like he attacked me. And it was like all I could see was like a light. It was just like a flash of light. Mm-hmm. And I blocked it out like we usually do. Mm-hmm. Didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. No one talked about it.
Right.
It was like
right.
I went to the doctor. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up, I was very clingy to my dad. But then my dad left when I was 15. And that spiraled me out of control because I wanted to be in a relationship. Like, I needed a relationship with a man.
Right.
So I went into relationships after relationships after relationships. And then I discovered when I was in my 20s, I had a drinking problem. Because I had to drink to go to sleep. I had to drink to wake up.
Wow.
And then I also had to, it was like I would go to the club from Thursday to Sunday. And then recover on Monday. And then Tuesday I'm sober. And it was like this cycle. And it was like my friends would say, you're a really good person, but I just don't think this is you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I couldn't sleep. I never could sleep. I would always hear things in my sleep. Or there would always be something on TV about sexual assault or molestation. And it would make me go into a cave. Like I was that person that would like clam up.
Mm-hmm.
And when people would say, why is it that you're this strong person, but you have like these moments where you go into this like cave and you cringe? And I'm just like, I don't know. And I couldn't explain it. And then finally, when I just started talking about it, I was 22 and I told my sister and she said, no one ever told her. And my sister, she's a fighter. So she was like, no one told me. And then when I confronted my mother, she was like, "Ooh, now we have to have this conversation."
Yeah.
So I started really digging into my family and really just started figuring things out and talking to my cousins because I saw them. I saw what happened to them. And then they were like, yeah, that happened.
Wow.
But I was the only one who was willing to say stuff. And it was like God kept pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help it. But it was just like, okay, God, if this is what you want, this is what I'm going to give them. And he's like, yes, go for it. Mm-hmm. Like, God pushes me in my stomach. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah. And it just took him really just slapping me upside the head and just meeting me in that place. And he taught me how to be a believer. Like, he taught me how to give. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe in tithe and I didn't believe in nothing. I was just like.
And this was just an instant awakening for you.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I just didn't go to church. I grew up in the church, but in my mind, in that rebellion.
Because you lost faith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you lost faith.
I lost myself. Yeah. I lost myself in relationships, toxic relationships, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And when he showed up, it was like I was broke.
Yeah.
I'm talking about broke.
Yeah.
And he showed up in the middle of it, and I was like, why are you here? Why are you talking to me? But you know what? That was the only voice I could hear. He just would not leave me alone. And it's been like that as we go. I'm like, okay, because I'm an introvert. And he's like, you're going to go out today. You're going to do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Wow, what a story. What would you say to a young girl who's going through it now and afraid to talk about it? For fear that nobody would believe her.
Well, first of all, we always try to see if they can talk to somebody that they can trust.
Yes.
And if it's us, then we have to take the proper procedures and the proper protocols to handle the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, if a kid says it's been happening or it has happened, most of the time it happened like a year ago or in the past.
Yeah.
So we tried to explain to them about how to speak up or how to, like, you don't have to be like me and go in front of people and say, yes, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you're acknowledging it and you're able to, like, start the process of healing or forgiving, that's key for us.
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk to you and say, you know, if you want to write it down or if you want to do it through expressions or art, like, that's what you need to do. But everybody has a different way of saying me too.
Right.
And we all can't. Like, I know people who are like, they wear the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are not that. Like, they have to grow through that.
And you know what? Another reason I think that a lot of people are afraid to speak up is because it's bad enough that you've been victimized by somebody that you thought you could trust. But then when you speak up, you become re-victimized by the public, re-victimized by the court system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even by your accuser, you know, by the person that you're accusing. And I've seen so many people, especially social media, man, social media.
Oh, God, R. Kelly.
But even with the Me Too movement and it's amazing the huge amount of women mm-hmm. that I see defending these men who do this.
Yeah.
Because it's the mentality that, oh, it's supposed to happen. Oh it's natural. No, it's not natural.
No,
it's not supposed to happen.
No.
Yeah. So it's, I get angry every, I have to stay off social media sometimes.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You have to protect yourself with boundaries.
Like, yes.
When people become too engaged in conversations or like glorifying things.
Yeah.
I have to take a step back.
Yeah.
And I have to say, okay, that's not my situation. I can't go over and change your opinion.
Right.
But
right.
I can't unfollow you.
Exactly. Yeah.
I gotta follow you. Yeah. And I'm like, none of us signed up to be a part of Me Too. Like, I didn't say yes, pick me. Mm,
exactly.
But it's like, okay, this is gonna happen to you. Mm-hmm. This is the pain. This is what I'm gonna do through you.
Yeah.
And right now you're just doing the work so that you can still, like, I'm still healing as I go.
Yeah.
Like,
me too.
I'm talking to kids and I'm like, okay, we're both going through this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you talk to people and you're like, I'm human too. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
I'm like,
But, you know, it's your pain births your purpose.
It does.
That's what, you know. So I think that if there's any encouraging words that to say to anyone who's going through that pain, it's just, you know, try to stay strong through it. Because if you come out on the other side, you find your purpose. You find your life's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll come out blazing.
Yes.
Like, I've been in situations where I've shared my testimony to the point, like, the rawness of the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen women crying.
Wow.
And kids breaking down. And I'm, you know me, I can go off with the Lord. And I just go into that vein. And it's just like, when you share that testimony, you really go there. Mm-hmm. And people come up to you and they say, that happened to me too. And sometimes people just want to share their story.
Yeah, yeah.
And you give them an opportunity just to share and say, you know what, this happened. But people want to be heard.
Right.
Because if I were to confront my grandmother, I don't think she would believe me. And
wow.
I think that's something that it's not my place to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she sat there and said, I don't believe you, that might trigger me back to that little girl.
Yeah.
So I need to move forward. And that's my healing process. It's like, how do I still navigate that relationship with her
mm-hmm.
who hid the secret? And it's just like,
wow.
You can't, you know, you want to say something, but it's like, but is it worth saying it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know, is it worth digging that up for her to hurt again?
Right.
Or
right.
does she hurt? You know, I just don't know.
Right.
So I have to live with that. That's a special place for Jesus.
Yeah, I guess you have to resolve it within yourself to heal. Because I don't know, it came to me this morning, and I guess I should post it because I don't post a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Only when I have something like where I feel like I'm led to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning I woke up, it was on my heart saying, you know, don't block your blessings by holding grudges against people.
Yeah.
Who may not even realize that they've wronged you
mm-hmm.
and waiting for an apology that you may never get.
Yeah. Can you be okay with
can
that?
You, yeah. Can you
I
be okay?
People, can you be okay?
With an apology that you may never, ever get. You just have to resolve that, you know, move on.
Oh,
move
yeah.
on and be bigger than the person that wronged you. You know what I mean? Wow. So... With I Am a Queen, mm-hmm. is there any, you know, place in your organization that you, like, when you, I know that you have a mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
Do you cover those subjects with the young ladies?
Oh, yes. we talk about everything.
Okay.
We talk about hygiene, mm-hmm. etiquette, mm-hmm. sexual assault. We talk about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was talking about, we talked a lot about rejection.
Okay.
How to handle rejection, how to communicate, because we started realizing there was a trend with the kids where we had a lot of girls who didn't have fathers.
Yeah.
So I do a fatherless daughter community forum where I bring in the men
mm-hmm.
to give advice. So
okay.
we're talking about how to communicate with your dad,
mm-hmm.
how to, you know, not be angry
mm-hmm.
or talk about like leadership, like how to do A, B, C, D,
mm-hmm.
like how to finish things.
Yeah.
So they have to go through like 5 months
okay.
of like workshops and trainings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they present to us what they've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually have the parents come in and the parents like pour back into them.
Okay.
So it's really like teaching them mm-hmm. like about life. And mm-hmm. then sometimes you may have a child who's never experienced anything, mm-hmm. but this child is experiencing a lot. And sometimes they're able to see, like, you know what? I thought she was perfect, but now I realize that she's human.
Yeah.
So we just open them up mm-hmm. as a safe environment. We talk about everything.
Well, that's good.
It's almost like you want to be a fly on the wall just to hear the stuff that comes out our mouth. So, yeah.
But that's, I mean, but that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because today's kids today, it seems like they have it so much harder than than we did back in the day. So, you know, I think it's really a great thing that you're doing. That's why every time, you know, I have something, I'll let me call Alana because, you
and
know.
We appreciate it. I'm like, what happened? They like, you fed my kids? I'm like, yes, she fed us. Like, thank you, God. You don't understand how important food is. Like,
yeah,
I have to feed them like almost like 3 times within the day. Uh-huh. Like, that's how much like food I'm bringing in because you're also giving other children food as they leave.
Right.
So you never know what you have in your program. You may have somebody that they don't have it over the weekend. So you're like, oh, okay, you have this situation. Well, let's help you in that. So you have to really get to know your kids.
Yeah.
Like, really dive in and just become like a mother to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I help the moms have conversations with their daughters or the fathers because you have single fathers who have children in my program. So it's just, it's a lot that I do, but I'm very engaged and very harassing. What are you doing?
So how often do you guys meet?
We are now back in peak season. Mm-hmm. So we are meeting once a month.
Okay.
Now, there are times we will meet twice in a month or 3 times, but it just depends because once we hit the summer, we have our annual teen conference.
Yeah.
And they actually help plan the teen conference.
Okay.
So this year we'll be celebrating 10 years.
Wow.
At the
congratulations.
So celebrating the 10 years is I Am Free. That's the name of the conference. I Am Free. And God showed it to me like a declaration of independence. He's like, it's like almost like your freedom.
Wow.
So I'm going to set it up like being free.
Yeah.
So the whole entire campaign is about, you know, declaring that you're free and stepping into your moment. So
it's
gonna be fun. We're gonna celebrate at Crazy.
And when is that?
It's gonna be July 13th. It's on a Saturday.
Okay.
And you're
gonna do the, of course, your back to school drive, and your Christmas and your Thanksgiving.
Well, we merged Thanksgiving with Christmas.
Oh, okay, okay.
So because what I did was I screened the families for Christmas. I know everything about them, and then we blessed them with the food boxes.
Nice.
So the DoubleTree, they actually supply us with like the space for free.
Okay.
And they sponsored that part, so we're able to house the gifts and then also do the turkey boxes at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the families show up and they pick up their stuff. And usually they're overwhelmed. Like, I'm talking about completely crying or, like, I didn't think I was going to get this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I told you were.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, you are going to be extremely blessed for all the great stuff doing to give back. And I think that, you know, the reason for the podcast is it's just to inspire and motivate, you know, young women, older women, you know what I mean? So I just want to thank you for all that you're doing, you know, in the community. And thanks for coming by and hanging out with me.
Absolutely.
Closing note, if you had to give an encouraging word to just a, you know, random person on the street, what would you say?
I would say every time a girl says, I'm a queen, she breaks chains of rejection, defeat, and pain off her life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And that's true.
It is true.
And that's true. And you got to speak it, you got to declare it, and you got to walk in it. Because here's one thing that I've realized is that the minute you declare something positive in your life, moving forward, here comes the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to, you know, break you down, but you gotta keep moving and you gotta keep walking forward.
Yeah, because it's the power of I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever follows I am follows you.
Absolutely.
So we teach them about the power of I am.
Power of the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Life and death, because whatever you speak is what you're gonna have.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta speak positivity. You gotta speak, you know, encouragement and pour into to yourself, not only yourself, to the people around you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alana Allen from I Am a Queen. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.